Well, we've been discovering that in the family of God, one of the things that characterizes God's people are what we have referred to as the long walks. And we've discovered that not only are those who are in the family of God, not only have they obeyed the Father's will, that is, they've repented of their sins and turned to Christ and received Him as Lord and Savior of their life, Matthew chapter number 12. And those who have experienced a new birth, the life of God became a reality on the inside of them at the moment of their conversion. Everybody in God's family has a birthday, a spiritual birthday, a day when they experienced the new birth. And those who have turned to Christ, obeyed the Father's will, experienced a new birth, they have an appetite for one particular kind of food. And according to Peter, it is the Word of God that we desire like little babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God. We love it. It's our favorite food, the Word of God is. And we have these personal talks. That is one of the things that characterizes the people of God is the fact that we talk to our Father. We spend time with Him. And talking with Him, there's somebody on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians 4:6, that is crying, Abba Father, and connected our heart to heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, we don't just say prayers, but we have an experience with God in prayer. These personal talks. And then we've been discovering the last several services that there are these long walks. And there's one of the things that characterizes the people of God, that is the family of God, is the fact that we've been learning how to walk with God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 1, that whenever he was with the believers at Thessalonica, that is, he shared the gospel with them on his second missionary journey, and there are those who got saved, and he was there with them for just a little while before he had to escape out of the city because of persecution. And the Bible tells us that while he was there, he taught them how to walk and to please God. And that what he taught them, he wanted them to abound, grow more and more in their walk with God, a walk that is pleasing to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, indeed it's true. And that is one of the things that God's people learn after they get saved is how to walk with God. I said to you in the previous services that it's something we have to learn how to do. And that is that we are, when we get born again, like a little baby, we are equipped with everything we need to be able to walk with God because of the Spirit of God and the gifting of God that He's given us. We have everything we need to be able to walk with God, but we have to learn how to walk. And that's what we've been trying to do. And that is learn how to walk with God. And we discovered it's a long walk. And that is what we're talking about, walking with God for the rest of our life. Not walking with God just a little while there's some stirring services going on. Not just walking with God for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or even just a couple of years. But I'm talking about walking with God for the rest of your life. Like Enoch did, he walked with God. And ladies and gentlemen, he walked with God all the way to heaven. God just took him one day. And just like Noah, the Bible tells us that Noah walked with God, and as a result, when he got done walking with God, there was an ark that was built, and he walked into the ark and stayed there until it was time to walk out and replenish the earth. They were on a long walk, and even so, you and I, as people of God, as the family of God, we're on a long walk as well. Our Father wants us to walk with Him for the rest of our lives. And listen, if you're in the family of God, there's somebody on the inside of you that's motivating you with a desire to walk with God and to walk close to God and to be near to God. So we've been trying to discover in the Bible what it means. What does the Bible say about walking with God? Here's what we've discovered so far. And that is that walking with God means walking by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and we learned how to do that. It also means, ladies and gentlemen, walking in newness of life. That is not living out the old life, but walking in the new life that God gave us whenever He saved us. We discovered, ladies and gentlemen, in Galatians 5:16, that we have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Walking with God means walking in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We discovered in the book of Ephesians that Paul writes a lot about walking, uses that metaphor a lot about walking with God, and we discovered it begins in Ephesians 2:10, where he talks about walking in good works. If you and I are going to walk with God, we got to walk in what is described there as good works. God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We also discover in the book of Ephesians it's a worthy walk, walking a worthy walk. Ephesians 4:1, the Bible talks about that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And we looked at that verse carefully and discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that means that you and I are to walk in a manner that reflects who we are in Christ, what God did in us when He saved us. If you'll just walk a walk that lines up with what God did in you when He saved you, you can walk with God. And we discover, ladies and gentlemen, what that means is, according to Ephesians 5 and verse number 1 and 2, it means walking in love. If you're not going to walk like he walked, and we should, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:1 that we ought to be followers of God as dear children. That is, we ought to just walk like he did, just following after him. And I tell you, the way Jesus walked, he walked in love. Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 2 of Ephesians 5 that he's given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus went to the cross and offered himself up, and the Bible tells us what motivated him, that is, what motivated him was love. He loved us so much, he's willing to sacrifice himself on the cross for all of us. And the Bible says we need to walk in that kind of love. Listen, it's impossible to walk with the God who is love and not walk in love. If you're going to walk with God, you have to walk in love. We also discovered in Ephesians 5 and verse number 8 that it also means walking in the light. That is, before you got saved, you were walking in darkness, ladies and gentlemen, according to Ephesians 4 and verse 17 and Ephesians 5 verse 8. You were walking in darkness. But now the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, 8, now you're light. You were in darkness, but now you are in the light. And so the Bible tells us there, then walk as children of light. Remember now what the Bible says in the book of 1 John. The Bible says that God is light and that there's no darkness in him, not any at all. And if you're going to walk with him, you've got to walk in the light. You cannot walk in darkness. And we discovered in our previous services this past Lord's Day, we began to discover what it means to walk in the light. To walk in the light means walking in truth. To walk in light, ladies and gentlemen, means walking in goodness and righteousness, according to Ephesians 5 and verse number 9. And you and I are going to have to learn how to walk in the light, in truth. Walking in truth, walking in righteousness, a pure godly life, the Bible tells us that's how you walk in light. And we looked at some verses in the book of John, 1 John, and discovered indeed that how we can be able to do that. So these are some things that Paul writes about in the book of Ephesians about how to walk with God. But notice in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse number 15, that he also writes here, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Notice here that if we're going to walk with God, then we have to walk circumspectly. Now that's an interesting word, the word circumspectly. It's a word, ladies and gentlemen, that's translated from a Greek word that means it's the idea of looking around very carefully. Looking around very carefully. And when you combine it with this idea of walking, it's the idea of somebody who is very careful, is carefully watching where it is that they walk. Carefully watching where they walk, the direction of their life, and where their walk is leading to. They're carefully watching where they walk. Now listen, I know that some of you were, when you were growing up, when you were young, you didn't watch very carefully about where you walked. And that is, you just ran and you walked and you skipped and you didn't really care, and every once in a while you skinned a knee as a result of that. But that's just part of growing up, isn't it? And that's the way we are. That is, we just walk and run and don't pay any attention. But as some of you have gotten older, you're a little bit more careful now about where you walk. And the reason why is because of the fact that you don't want to fall down now. When you were younger, you probably didn't really care. You bounced and got right back up. But the bounce has already gone. And so you try to be careful about where it is that you walk. And experience in life, maturity has taught you that. That is, you've gained some insight over the years. And one of the insights that you've gained is this idea of being more careful about where it is that you walk. You're examining where you're headed and where it is that you are walking. And that's the idea here when he talks about walking circumspectly. It's talking about those, ladies and gentlemen, who are watching carefully about where it is and how it is that they walk. Now, the Bible tells us here in Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, it gives us some insight as to how you do that. How do you walk a careful kind of walk? And we discovered there that that means not walking as fools, but as wise. The idea of a foolish walk, ladies and gentlemen, is somebody who's just haphazard, somebody that is careless in their walk. Walking like a careless person, not paying any attention to where they're walking. That's the idea of walking like a fool. But the opposite of that is walking in wisdom. If you and I are going to be careful about how we walk or walk circumspectly, then we've got to walk in wisdom and not in foolishness. Now, there's a lot to be said about wisdom, about the wisdom that God has for us. But let me just say this, and that is, you cannot walk with the all-wise God and not walk in wisdom. If you're going to walk with Him, you've got to walk in wisdom and not foolishness. Now listen, when God saved you, ladies and gentlemen, He deposited wisdom on the inside of you. You and I are awfully impressed with a man named Solomon in the Old Testament. That is David's son. When he was given opportunity to ask for anything, he asked for wisdom. He could have asked for wealth, but he didn't. He asked for wisdom, and God blessed him as a result of that. And we talk about the wisdom of Solomon. But did you know, I've got great news for you, did you know when God saved you, ladies and gentlemen, that wisdom came to live on the inside of you? The all-wise God came to indwell you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Christ is our wisdom, the Bible tells us? He's our redemption, our righteousness. He is our wisdom. And the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the all-wise Son of God, came to live on the inside of you at the moment of your conversion. So you have wisdom already imparted on the inside of you. And not only do you have wisdom living on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, but also we have growth in wisdom available to us as we pray. But the Bible tells us in James chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible tells us there that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, listen, if you need wisdom, just pray. You say, Pastor, when am I going to find wisdom? You'll find it, ladies and gentlemen, in the person of Christ, the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. You'll find it in the Word of God, that is this divinely inspired book that the Spirit of God gave to us. The one who lives in us inspired the book before us. And if you walk in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, as we'll see in a moment, and walk in the Word of God, as you can see in the book of Colossians, if you'll do that, then you can experience wisdom. You can grow in wisdom and walk in wisdom if you will. And because of the one who lives on the inside of you. That is the all-wise God and the person of the Holy Spirit. You've got to walk in wisdom. Let me just say a few things about walking in wisdom that are brought out to us by the Apostle Paul in these verses. That is, what does it look like to walk in wisdom? If somebody's walking in wisdom, what is it going to look like? Well, the Bible tells us here, first of all, that we have to look at the time that God has purposed for you. The time that God has purposed for you. That is, in verse number 16, the sentence continues, and he talks about redeeming the time. Those who walk in wisdom, those who are living, who are walking circumspectly, walking in wisdom, the Bible says that that the way they do that is by redeeming the time. That is, the time that God has purposed for us. That word redeem there is an interesting word. It really means to buy back. It means to buy something back. It'd be like they would use in biblical times to buy a slave. And that is, there might be a slave that you go and you buy that slave back, and for the purpose of setting that slave free, redemption was used in that kind of a way. It's taking something back is the idea, ladies and gentlemen. And when it comes to our time, it's the idea of getting a hold of and taking back our time and using it for the right purposes. That is, God has time that He's purposed for you. The word that is used here for time is not the word that is used in the New Testament to describe like the time of day. That is what the clock says. But instead, it's a word translated from the Greek that's describing a period of time. A period of time. And that is talking about a large period of time in your life. That is, take a hold of the time that you have. The time that belongs to you, grab a hold of it and use it. Listen, those who are wise in the way that they use the time that they have. Now listen, you've got some time. You've got some time. But one of these days, that time is going to be over. You've got a period of time. Every one of us do. We don't know exactly how long it's going to be. Some of you have had a good long period of time by comparative reasons if we looked at length of life. And we don't know how much longer that any of us have when it comes to time. But ladies and gentlemen, whatever time that we have that God has allowed for us, that period of time, we need to buy it back, or we need to grab a hold of it and take advantage of it and use it for His glory. Let me just say something about this and expand on it just for a few moments. And that's when I'm talking about the time that God has purposed for us, I'm talking about a time to be saved. There is a time for sinners to turn to Christ, a time to be saved. When the Bible says, it talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 about taking that there's an accepted time, a day of salvation, or accepted time to be saved, it's telling us, ladies and gentlemen, there is a period of time that you and I have the opportunity to turn to Christ and receive Him as the Lord of our life. And someday that period of time is going to be over. And so if you're not saved or you're not sure that you're saved, then right now, listen, in this time period, in this time that you're in right now, that's the time to be saved. It's kind of like it was in Noah's day. Y'all remember Noah? And that isn't, ladies and gentlemen, there was a time God said, Noah, listen, my spirit is not always going to strive with man. I want you to build this ark. There's coming a day whenever the opportunity to be saved is going to be over, and the only ones that are going to be saved are those who are in the ark. And Noah went around. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness, so we assume that while he was building the ark, he was also sharing the news and telling people that there was a flood coming, the judgment of God is on its way. You need to turn to the Lord. You need to believe and turn to the Lord and get in the ark. And no, listen, nobody believed the gospel, the good news that he was preaching about how to be saved from the judgment of God, except for Noah and his family. They had an opportunity. Apparently, they had an opportunity. Just an opportunity for a period of time. And then one day, Noah got into the ark, and as you remember, the door was shut and the floods began to come. And listen, when that happened, according to our Lord Himself, the opportunity was over. Jesus used that as an illustration of how it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. And that is, there's an opportunity to be saved, but one of these days, that period of time is going to be over. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a time to be saved. God sent two angels one day to Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a man there named Lot, and he had his wife and his family there to deliver them out of that city. The judgment of God, ladies and gentlemen, was about to be poured out on that city. Now listen, Lot at least went to his daughters and their husbands and began to plead with them and tell them the judgment of God is going to be poured out, and that is, we need to get out of the city. We need to leave. We only got a short amount of time to be saved, to be rescued. And the Bible says that they just mocked him like he was crazy and wouldn't listen to him and would not believe. And finally, Lot and his wife and his two daughters were sort of dragged out of the city by the angels. And the judgment of God came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and the very ones that Lot had pleaded with and talked to, their opportunity, their time period to be saved, it was over. I remember the New Testament story about a man who was so wealthy, a farmer, that he tore down his old barns and built bigger ones. He decided he was going to take his ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Luke's gospel tells us in chapter 12, and that is, Jesus told the story. He's just going to take his ease now, retired, kick back, and just going to take it easy the rest of his life. And he assumed he had a lot of time. And yet the Bible tells us that very night, that is, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, listen, you're a fool. He's not walking in wisdom, but he's described as a fool. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is because he was not rich towards God, and because his life was going to end that night and he was going to die without the Lord. His time came to an end. The time that he had, the opportunity he had to be saved, was over. When the Bible tells us here that we need to be wise enough, ladies and gentlemen, to redeem the time, it may be speaking to that time to be saved. That is, those who are lost, you need to wise up like Timothy did. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14 and 15, he said, Timothy, I want you to continue in the word that made you wise unto salvation. That is, the word of God planted in Timothy's heart gave him enough wisdom to know they need to be saved. Don't walk in foolishness, but walk in wisdom. If you're not saved, this is the time to turn to him. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 19 when he looked out across the city of Jerusalem? He said this in Luke 19, verse number 41. It says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. He's weeping over the city. And here's what he said. Jesus said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. If you'd have just known, if you would have just seen, but now this all hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee in on every side. You're going to be surrounded by the enemies, Jerusalem, and the people, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to lay you even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. There's a day coming when Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. just a few years from when Jesus said this. Here's why. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They had a time to turn to Christ and receive Him. But they rejected Him and turned away from Him. They had a time to yield to the Holy Spirit after the day of Pentecost, but many of them rejected Him and continued to. Until a few years later, the Romans marched in and did exactly what Jesus said they would do, destroyed the city and killed thousands. They had a time to be saved. But they didn't, ladies and gentlemen, redeem the time. When we're talking about redeeming the time, we know that that means there's a time to be saved. But let me just say, secondly, it also means, ladies and gentlemen, we need to take advantage of the time to be serving. For those of us that are saved, we've got a period of time that we can serve. And listen, one of these days, that period of time is going to be over. Some of you might be thinking to yourself, well, one of these days when things change in my life and I get a little bit more, you know, get a little more time, or things change and get a little healthier, or things change and I straighten up a little bit more, someday I'm going to start serving Him. Listen, one of these days, someday is going to be over. If you're ever going to serve God, you need to start doing it right now. This is the time. There's just a time. And that time can come to an end. And sometimes rather quickly. The story that I love to think about, and I think about it a lot, is when the children of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, were marching and came out of the Egyptian bondage through the Red Sea. God divided the waters, and they followed Moses through and got on the other side, and they went to Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law. He's leading them to the promised land, the land that God promised Abraham. They're on their way, and they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent spies into the land. They were there for about 40 days, and they came back, and the report was, it's a great land, it's a wonderful land, but it's also inhabited by giants. We're like grasshoppers in their sight with great walled cities. There's no way that we can take the land. Now, God is saying, march into the land and take the land, but they will not step out and do what God has said to do by faith. They backed up in unbelief instead of stepping forward in faith, and they refused to go into the land. They were ready to get rid of Moses, ladies and gentlemen, and go back into Egypt. They, ladies and gentlemen, would not go. Their hearts were hardened. They would not serve God. They would not do the will of God. They would not follow Moses into the land, but rebelled against him, and God was going to wipe them out, and Moses got to praying, and God said, what I'll do is that I'll just send them into the wilderness. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, around and around and around in circles in wilderness, until that entire generation died and a new generation of Israelites was growing up. Ladies and gentlemen, and under the leadership of Joshua, they went into the land, took the land, and began to conquer it. Now listen, there's a period of time for you to obey God and serve Him. And for these Israelites, that period of time was at Kadesh Barnea. You're going to walk out and step out by faith, or you're not. And when they refused, ladies and gentlemen, when they refused, they lost their opportunity, that generation. And they spent the rest of their time just wandering in the wilderness. There's a time to be serving. There's a time for you to serve. Those who redeem the time are those who take back that time. And so I'm going to serve Him right now. I'm not going to wait another day. I'm going to start serving God today. Now listen, those who are walking circumspectly, that's what they do. They redeem the time. Not only is there a time to be saved, and not only is there a time to be serving, but let me just say also, thirdly, there's a time to be seeking as well. A time to be seeking. A time to seek God. A time to search and seek after Him. But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse number 6, a verse that you'll remember well, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. There's a time that you and I ought to be seeking God. It ought to be right now. There's a time period for you to pray, a time to seek God, a time to walk with God, a time to draw near to God. Listen to me now. Don't waste that time that God has given you. That is, don't waste it on the world around you, when you could be walking with God and seeking after Him. Listen, instead of seeking after the things of the world, Jesus told us that we need to be seeking His kingdom, the things that be of God, seeking after Him and not the things of the world. You're wasting your time if you're seeking the things of the world and not seeking God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just trying to do well by my family. Listen, what your family needs more than wealth is a wise man. A man wise enough to know that there's a time to be saved, there's a time to serve, and there's a time to seek. And that I want to redeem that time, I want to bring that time back and use it wisely. Listen, that's what it means to walk circumspectly. It's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, walking in wisdom with regard to the time that God has purposed for you. Let me just say, secondly, there's not only the time that God has purposed for you, but according to the verses we read here in Ephesians chapter number 5, there's the will that God has planned for you. You might have seen it right there in the book of Ephesians, and that is the Bible talks about the will of God. Notice in verse number 15 again, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, the reason why the days are evil. Take advantage of the time you have right now because of the evil day in which we live, may limit the amount of time you have." Then he says, "Wherefore, be ye wise, be ye not unwise, but the opposite of being unwise is understanding what the will of the Lord is." If you're going to walk in wisdom circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, then don't be unwise. Stop being unwise. The opposite of being unwise, according to this verse, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 17, is understanding what the will of the Lord is. Those who are wise, they understand what the will of God is. You want to walk right? Say, "Pastor, I don't understand what you mean by walking carefully." Here's what I mean. And that is, walking carefully means redeeming the time. That is, buying back the time, taking the time that you have so that you can use it wisely. But it also means, that is, when the Bible talks about walking circumspectly, it means, ladies and gentlemen, knowing the will of God. Careful walking means I'm careful to walk in the center of the will of God for my life. That is, I want to know what the will of God is. What is God's purpose and God's will for my life? Now, we know that there's some general principles, general things that's the will of God for everybody's life. It's His will for us to be like Christ, to conform to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. That's His purpose, is to conform us to the image of Christ. We know the will of God is for us to give thanks in everything, ladies and gentlemen, according to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Hey, we know the will of God is our sanctification, according to 1 Thessalonians 4. We know there are some basic things that the Bible says are indeed the will of God. But in also along that same line, God has a specific plan, a specific will designed for your life, and that He gifted you to be able to do. That is, walking in the center of God's will. If you're not going to be walking circumspectly or carefully, that means the one thing that we're careful about is not to waste our time. And the second thing that we're careful about, ladies and gentlemen, is not to miss the will of God. I want to be right where God wants me to be, doing what everything God wants me to do. I want to walk in the center of the will of God for my life. And so that means I got to look at every step that I'm taking and ask this question: is this the will of God for my life? Is this God's will? Now listen, it might be your will, but if it's not God's will, then you're not being wise and you're not walking circumspectly. Want to walk with God, you got to walk circumspectly, and that means you got to be careful about staying right in the center of the will of God in every area of your life. Testing everything and say, is this the will of God? Is this what God wants? Am I working where God wants me to work? Am I living where God wants me to live? Am I doing what God wants me to do? That is, the decisions I make, are they the decisions that God wants me to make? Being careful to walk in the will of God. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and that is that nobody in this room, and especially the one standing, has always imperfectly did everything that was the will of God. We fall and we fail. Now, I certainly do. I probably fall and fail as much as anybody in this room. But listen, those who are wise and those who desire to walk with God will recognize where they're at when they fall and they fail, and change course and get back in the center of the will of God for your life. Amen. Listen, nobody in this room is going to perfectly obey every aspect of God's will for your life. There are going to be things you're going to miss. There are going to be things that you're going to fail. There are going to be things that you know and you're going to deliberately just mess up because you yielded to your flesh. When you do, you just recognize where you're at and recognize you're not where you need to be. And you confess it to God and get going back in the center of the will of God for your life. Get back in step with the will of God for your life. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the will that God has planned for you. So I don't know how to do that. Well, Romans 12:2 tells us. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of letting the world conform you and mold you, instead allow the Spirit of God living on the inside of you to transform you from the inside out. That is, from your mind, your thoughts, your inner man, to transform your life. And if you'll do that, the Bible says that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. You'll learn by experience. You'll be right there in the center of God's will for your life. So you and I have to constantly be renewed, don't we? Renewing of the mind, constantly being made new, the Bible tells us here, being transformed by the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. We fall and we fail, and the Spirit of God helps us to get back up and experience transformation and grow and learn even from the failures that we've experienced, so we can walk in the center of God's will for our life. Listen, if you're going to walk with God, you got to walk circumspectly. And that means you got to walk in wisdom. That means you got to take advantage of the time that God has purposed for you. And there's the will that God has planned for you. But let me just also mention, thirdly, there's also the Spirit that God placed in you. The Spirit that God placed in you. Walking carefully, ladies and gentlemen, requires the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. You see, we don't naturally in our flesh, we don't walk the right way. As a matter of fact, if you and I follow the desires of our fallen nature or our flesh, we'll make bad decisions, we'll go in the wrong direction, we'll do the wrong things. I certainly do. I do. So what I need, if I'm going to walk carefully, is I need the direction, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he writes about in verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine. Hey, if you want to walk a careless walk, just get drunk. I'm not recommending that. It sounds like it, doesn't it? But if you do, you're going to stagger around and fall down. You're going to walk in a way that you should not be walking. A careless walk. But opposite of that, ladies and gentlemen, verse 18, is to be filled with the Spirit, implying to you and I that the answer to a careful walk is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him and not by intoxicating beverages. What's controlling my life? Is it an intoxicant or is it the Holy Spirit? If you're not going to be able to walk a careful walk, then we need to get to know the Spirit of God who came to live on the inside of us. And allow Him to dominate our life from the inside out. Listen, when I am not filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, then listen, I allow my flesh to control my life, I can be as wretched as anybody else. And you can too. In our flesh, ladies and gentlemen, it's not anything good. But when you and I learn and grow and learn how to walk, then we learn how to walk in the Spirit, as I preached in the previous message. And as you and I learn how to walk in the Spirit and allow Him to dominate our life, allow Him to be the one who's in control. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of being controlled by the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. That means He's making the decisions. That means He's setting the agenda. He's the one who's determining which way we're going to walk. How do I know which way to go? If I want to be careful in my walk, how do I know? Well, the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, that God placed on the inside of you, He knows where you ought to walk. He is the all-wise God living on the inside of you, and the all-wise God has inspired a book that He's also given to you. So as you walk in the Word and walk in the Spirit, then He can control your life from the inside out, dominating you from the inside out, so that you can be careful and walk in the right direction. If you'll allow the Spirit of God to dominate your life, guess what will happen? You'll walk right at church. You'll start walking right at church. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says in verse 18, not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The sentence continues into verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you start walking in the Spirit and allowing Him to dominate your life, you'll start walking right at church. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. I mean, when you get to church, you'll get there and you'll start singing. And I'm talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you'll start singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We call that worship, don't we? That is, you'll come and start worshiping. Listen, that's how you walk right. It's by coming and worshiping the Lord. You'll start giving thanks. Not for some things, but for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. That is, you come and you start to worship and sing and from your heart making melody to the Lord, and you start giving thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, you're walking right now at church if you start doing that. And the Bible says you start submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. God's people not fighting against each other, but God's people submitting to each other. Hey, when we're walking right at church, then we're living lives of submission to one another. A submissive life is a life that puts others ahead of ourselves. Submission is talking about ranking, how I rank people. And the idea of being submissive is that I don't rank myself high, but others above me. And I rank myself under them. That I consider myself your servant for the Lord's sake. Not your superior, your servant. That's submission. And listen, when you get to church and you start walking right, I mean you start walking carefully, that's what it looks like. It looks like worship. It looks like thanksgiving. It looks like submission. If you allow the Spirit of God to dominate your life, you'll be able to walk right at church. Spirit of God will teach you how to walk at church. You'll also be able to walk right at home. But the Bible continues in verse 22, and it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject or submissive unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And by the way, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word." Here's what the Bible is talking about. It's talking about our home. That is our family. All the way through the end of chapter number 5, it's talking about wives who love their husbands so much that they place them above themselves. The idea of being submissive, ladies, the idea of being submissive means that I place my husband ahead of myself. And listen to me. Now, the Bible says here that the men are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And you know what it looks like for a man to love his wife? Well, it looks just about like a woman submitting to her husband. It's him placing her needs ahead of his own, sacrificing himself for her. So in the home, you got a wife putting her husband before herself, and you got a husband putting his wife before himself. And I'll tell you, listen, that's what it looks like to walk right in your home. When you get to chapter number 6, you see children obeying their parents in the Lord. Well, this is right. It's the right way to walk. Honoring your father and your mother. That's the first commandment and promise, a promise, and that it may be well with you. And there you got a husband placing his wife's need above his own, and a wife placing her husband's need above her own. And you got children that are obeying and submitting to their parents. Hey, that's walking right in the home. That's walking circumspectly. And you know who helps us do that? Well, the Spirit of God does. The one who's dominating our life teaches us how to live a submissive, loving, obedient life in our home. The Spirit of God that God placed in you will teach you how to walk right at church. He'll teach you how to walk right at home. He'll even teach you how to walk right at work. Well, the Bible says in chapter number 6 and verse number 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ," not with eye service, that is just doing it when they're looking, as men pleases, "but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God." What is the will of God? This is the will of God. The will of God from your heart is for servants to be obedient and submissive to their masters. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that we don't have in our day, in our culture, we don't have a workforce that consists of servants and masters. But we have a workforce, don't we? Where there's a structure of authority. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, those who are filled with the Spirit of God, you can tell they are. Those who are walking right at work, you can tell they are. And the reason why is because of the fact that they are submissive to and respectful of those who are in authority over them. Those who are rebellious against authority, those who are bitter at authority, are not walking right. If you want to walk circumspectly, then let the Spirit of God dominate your life. And if you do, He'll teach you how to walk right at church, worship, praise, and thanksgiving. He'll teach you how to walk right at home, placing others ahead of yourself. He'll teach you how to walk right in the workplace. And let me just say finally, He'll teach you how to walk right in the world. As you and I live our life in this world, the Spirit of God dominating your life, He'll teach you how to walk right. You say, "Well, Pastor, how are we supposed to walk right in the world?" Well, it begins in chapter 6 and verse 10 and continues on through the majority of chapter number 6, of which I don't have time to preach. But here's what it says: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might." Ladies and gentlemen, that strength and power comes as a result of the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, according to Ephesians 3:16. Living in you is the Spirit of God strengthening you. And so listen, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we walk in the world, ladies and gentlemen? We walk filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we walk with the armor of God that God has provided for us in Christ. So we can battle so that we can do spiritual warfare as we journey through this world. If you allow the Spirit of God to fill you and control you, you'll walk like a good soldier in this world. And that's walking circumspectly. Got your armor on? You're ready for battle. To battle against not flesh and blood, no, but demons, principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're going to walk with God, He really wants you to. He wants you to be on the long walk. Then you got to learn how to walk circumspectly. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working on the inside of us. God, I pray that You speak to our lives, every need, every person. God, I pray, Father, that You'll just speak to us in such a way that we can get everything surrendered to You. God, those who haven't been walking with You, God, those who've fallen and messed up and aren't where they ought to be, God, I pray that You just give them the grace right now. God, to just surrender everything to You, just abandon it all to You, to not hold on to any of it, just get back where they need to be, walking with You, to forgive those that they need to forgive, to let go of the past and the hurts and the failures and the stumbles, to let all of that go, Father, and to get up and start walking with You. Father, would You teach us how to do that, how to walk carefully? Father, I thank You for what You've shown us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.